You are listening to a Documentally podcast. Episode 3. Hello and welcome to another, hopefully, enthralling episode of the podcast on Documentally.com. Still waiting for a few comments to appear on the website. It's looking lonely out there. I'd hate to think I am like many of the podcasters out there and just sat here talking to myself. I suppose that's one of the reasons for doing interviews, so I'm not alone all the time. But please feel free if you want to leave some feedback or just say a hello, get on the website and click comments. Brief intro to this week. The interview nearly didn't happen due to a few comments that were said that I thought may breach libel law. It was kind of pointed out to a friend of mine that heard the rough take. It was all done in one take, bish bash, and I thought, oh, nice and easy, I'll just stick that straight on. And he said, actually, you know, have a little bit of a listen to that. Some of the things that are said might get you in a bit of trouble. So I might have introduced a few sound effects over a couple of words that I think might be taking things a little bit too close to the legal edge. So, and in addition to that, I'd like to say any of the opinions that you see on the website or here in a podcast on documentally.com are not necessarily the opinions of myself. So just please bear that in mind. And on that note, sit back and have a listen to this week's interview. Hang in there, gets complicated in parts, but you got to listen all the way through to the end just to find out what's happening next week anyway. Hope you enjoy it. Thanks very much for downloading this particular podcast. Sit back and enjoy.
The Random Interview on Documentally.com.
Hi, I'm here in Rugby and I'm in the house of Lillian Palakrolopoulos, and I believe that you're probably the only campaigner? Activist?
No, I wouldn't say that.
That I know?
Ah.
Okay. Now, what would you call yourself? Would you call yourself a campaigner or an activist or just a person passionate about her beliefs?
I would call myself an environmentalist and a specialist in cement plants and cement plant emissions and technology.
For people that don't know about rugby and it's kind of the people's ongoing struggle with the cement plant, could you briefly, in maybe a paragraph, tell us exactly what's been happening from the beginning?
Well, what happened from the beginning was about 100 years ago, they had two horses and a cart for the cement plant. And bit by bit, they've expanded the cement plant. And still, until in the 21st century, they built a cement plant that has 2 million tonne capacity, as opposed to the largest one previous to that, which was about 230,000 tonnes a year. So they multiplied each time by tenfold until we've got to the situation today, which is an enormous amount of emissions, about 1,000 lorries a day, and also just tremendous environmental blight, degradation, loss of amenity and impact. And the worst, perhaps, of all is the heavy plume which hangs over the town, falling in chunks day by day, night by night, and this is perhaps the worst impact of all, because it's there, threatening, menacing and horrible.
Whereabouts in relation to Rugby Town then is the cement plant?
The cement plant is just on the western edge of the town, between the village of Lawford and Rugby, but it's actually about 400 yards from the western edge, which is particularly bad because in England, as everybody knows, the westerly winds predominate. And so all the plume from the cement plant, not all, that's unfair, but a predominant amount of the winds blow from the west. That is the predominant wind, and it will blow into the town. So occasionally, of course, about 5% of the time there's a north wind, and similarly from the south, but it will come from the west predominantly, and we are then suffering the plume blowing onto us.
How long have you been actually involved in, should we call it a struggle?
Yes, I became involved in the struggle in 2001 when they started to announce that they were going to burn waste at the cement plant, and some people came and asked me to help them. They said that they thought I'd have an interest in environmental issues, and so it wasn't through any purpose of my own that they asked me to help them, and so I became really involved by default, unfortunately for me.
So what's happened? I mean, how many people have been involved throughout the time? Is this rugby against the council, rugby against the cement works? What parties here are we talking about?
Well, that's interesting because there's a lot of mixed up people in this. There was many meetings were held in 2001, 2002, and sometimes were 300-400 people at the meetings. And this was asking questions of the Environment Agency and the cement plant. Rugby Borough Council also held meetings, and then they said that they would take a judicial review against the Environment Agency, but at the last minute they dropped out, which caused the people of Rugby then to take action on their own part. So I would say this involves the 90,000 people of Rugby. There were petitions presented in the early days to the House of Parliament where 7,000 people said that they were not prepared to accept this. But the problem with it, a lot of it is, was that when they started, they said it was to do with the cement plant and the burning of alternative fuels. But we didn't know until afterwards that it involved what we call the IPPC permit. And in fact, we had been totally misled by the Environment Agency, Rugby Cement and Rugby Borough Council, who all called the meetings into the burning of waste at the cement plant, when in fact that was not the issue at all. It was what we call the IPPC permit. The worst has to be the Environment Agency, because people think that the Environment Agency is an environmental protection agency. And in fact, they're not here to protect the environment and the people. They are here to protect the industry. And they're what we call a permitting agency. So all the people have been misled because they thought that the EA, the Environment Agency, was to protect them. But in fact, it is a puppet of DEFRA and the government to get the industries permitted and to get away with as light a touch as they can, and to give as much deregulation and as low emission standards as they can actually get away with. And this is the worst.
Please, if you want to email me anything, questions, answers, whatever you want, just send them to podcast@documentally.com.
The Environment Agency are absolutely huge. How do you possibly think you can make a difference?
Well, that's very difficult, because they actually rang me up at home and said, don't try it on with us. We never lose. We are the Environment Agency. We will win whatever you do. And we've got away with it in rugby because there's been no intelligent opposition. So when you get that kind of phone call in your own home and various things repeated in the room where they've said that these are only 300-400 people here, but even if 90,000 people came here, we would take no notice of them, we realise what we're up against, because these are the puppets of the government, and the government has this policy without regard to human health and to the impact on the environment, on the people that it affects. And it's not just in rugby, there are various other people in places in the country where these sort of things are going on.
Do you not worry for your own safety?
Well, I know the government will go to great lengths, and there are many question marks over various deaths and impacts that have happened in the country. But I think the strong point that I've got is that so many people are involved, that lawyers, the judges and the international community know what's going on in rugby. We've been to various conferences, international conferences, and all over the country it's well publicised in websites. So I think, you know, even if they came, it would be a hollow victory for them, because it would not stop the word spreading. They're too late. They should have thought of that about 4 years ago.
You say that so casually. I mean, you must be in pretty deep.
Well, I'm in deep because I do know a lot. Perhaps, well, I wouldn't say I know a lot more than a lot of people. I understand it and I can put all the strings together. But I've managed to spread the files about so that other people have got the full information. And we've photocopied up, you know, thousands of documents. So it's not just with me in my house, it's everywhere. I mean, is this a criminal, you know, a civil criminal case, or is this a question of people just being incompetent and useless? And so I've employed planning consultants and industrial consultants over the years, and they have actually said that nobody could be that stupid for that long. So then you have to start thinking, well, why were they that stupid for that long?
this must be at quite an incredible cost to yourself, not just financially, but emotionally as well.
I would say it's emotionally, physically, mentally and financially draining. It's been a terrible drain on our family, and particularly in the elderly relatives who've missed me when I would have been spending much more time with them. But at the same time, it's worth it because there's 90,000 people of Rugby whose lives are affected. The government knows that people will die because of the cement plant, and they had a meeting in February 2002 with the COMIAP Medical Committee to see how many people the cement plant was killing. They're refusing to give us the data from that meeting and also the formula. And it's not just how many people is it killing, but it's also how many people's health's been affected, how many people are on disability allowance. And what you have to work out is the cost benefit. Look at the benefit to the economy, look at the number of people that's being killed or injured or their lives impacted by this, and work out if it's worth it. But the problem they've got is that normally a cement plant is in a rural area, and in which case you're looking at 300 or 400 people in the odd village around. You're not looking at 90,000 people downwind. So the impact here has to be far more than at any other site where any cement plant could be built.
How far are you going to take this?
All the way. We're looking now, if we don't win the court case that's been heard last week, we'll be looking at the House of Lords and going to Europe. And in fact, the judges laughed in the court case and said, you know, are you going to bother listening to us or are you going straight on to Europe? It's a civil liberties and a human rights issue. And the people have a right to a proper environment and air quality and not to be in dumped on.
You are listening to Documentally.com.
What would it take to bring all of this to an end?
Oh, now I don't know quite how to answer that.
How can you be appeased in, you know, an environmental sense?
Oh, well, the cement plant has to come down. There is no way that a wet processed cement plant can work in a town of this size. Here we are with a head-on collision course. The cement plant has to optimise its capacity. It has to work at 110% all the time. To save money, it has to burn waste, hazardous waste, and all the other waste, which the government's now given permission for, which will cause a lot of pollution in the town. Therefore, they have to pollute. They have a licence to pollute. They have to pollute. The problem is that the people of Rugby have to die. And so this is where we're at. No, this is a war.
What kind of things are they talking about burning?
Well, they started off with tyres, which seemed quite innocuous to a lot of people, and saying how good it was for the country and how this was better for us also. It lessened the emissions of nitrogen dioxide, but also includes hazardous waste, meat and bone meal, BSE-infected meat and bone meal, low-grade explosives, plastics, household waste, sewage sludge pellets, chemical waste, industrial waste, and also hospital waste. And that kind of thing. Is that not enough?
All being burnt in what is almost Rugby town centre.
Yes, and also in such a capacity of that you can't imagine the scale of things compared to incinerators. If I give you just a clue to the size of this, the Rugby cement plant burns more overall materials in 1 year than all the incinerators in the UK put together. That is the size. We're talking of burning over 3 million tonnes a year here. Another example I can give you is that the whole of the household waste in Warwickshire that can be collected in the next 10 years amounts to about 3 million tonnes. And here we have the burning of that. It's not all waste. I'm not saying it's all waste, but it's as a total. That's what they're burning here in 1 year. The scale is massive.
What's the alternative?
The alternative is that the government has to pay more to dispose of it properly in incinerators. People are terrified of incinerators. The average incinerator burns about 250,000 tonnes a year, and it has afterburners and particularly low emission limits. They have in each cubic metre of emissions, they have about a 50th of what comes out of the cement plant. But it's not just that, it's how many, a 50th of what are we talking about? The scale of the thing is so huge, and the emissions here, you know, are 100 times more than any cement plant, any incinerator.
You're reeling all of these figures and all of these numbers straight off the top of your head. There are no notes, there's nothing here to aid you in any way. How come you can remember all this, and doesn't it just drive you insane?
It does drive me insane, but I can remember it because I spend my whole life like a moron reading cement plant books, go to bed with them and read them night and day, and studied this for the last 4 years. I became really quite an expert in it, although I say so myself. And I don't make things up. I've never exaggerated, never lied, always tell the truth. The facts are there. Anyone who says to me, where have you got that from? I can pinpoint every document, and there it is. There's no need to exaggerate because this is gross. Cement kilns are extremely damaging for the environment in every case, but particularly damaging when they burn waste. They are not located in towns, if you study the European BAT reference documents, because in towns they are too damaging. The wet process plants, the plume drops onto the people. Even if it was a dry process plant, they might have got away with it, but with a wet process, they cannot. They admit, the agency itself says that the plume grounds on the residents of Rugby and we can't do anything about it. It's hand of God, but we're not happy, and the people of Rugby will fight to the death for their life and health.
It almost sounds like an impossible war that you are fighting here. Obviously, a single, very clued up lady with probably, I suspect, a team of undercover helpers maybe in the background doing a little bit of research for you, because it sounds impossible to be doing everything by yourself. I mean, you say you're going to take it all the way to the end. Do you see an end?
Yes, I see an end. The cement plant will have to come down. The people that help me, there's obviously people that do more and some that do less. When we started, we had a lot of protesters and people that came to public meetings, but people get exhausted, and this is the whole technique of the agency and the cement industry. And if you look on the website, you can see that is the technique they employ to wear people out. Even the lawyers have written saying, from Warwick County Council, saying we could not expect them to go on this long, and they try to ground you into the dirt. They don't expect tenacity, they don't expect people to be dedicated, but I think they've come up with more, they've more than met their match here, because the people of Rugby are too many, and there are too many people impacted by this. We will not give in. The cement plant has to come down, and they can buy imported cement, they can build it somewhere else, and it's not also a case of NIMBYism. They must build it in a more appropriate location. What I can say to you is this: would you allow the motorway to come through the middle of Rugby and go at 75 miles an hour? Is that safe? And you'd say, don't be stupid, you know that's not safe. Of course not, you should be 20, 30 miles an hour town centre. It's the same thing with the cement plant. You cannot have it here, it's as simple as that.
What would you be doing if you weren't doing this?
I'd be enjoying my children, doing more charity work, looking after the old people, charitable work that I think is extremely important.
And what will you be doing the day after all this is over?
Be having about two glasses or two bottles of champagne, and then celebrating that how many people will be living to a much longer old age in Rugby, and children that will be freer from asthma and also live to enjoy more life and have less disability. And then I'll shut the book on this and start on my next project.
There's more information available on rugbytown.org, where you can check out the blog, regularly updated with pictures. It's just as much tongue-in-cheek as it is full of important facts and figures. So get on there and show your support. Thanks very much, Lillian.
Thank you.
I don't want you listening to any angry music. Songs of madness and obsession.
You have been listening to a Documentally podcast on Documentally.com. Thanks, and I hope to see you again. Well, at least speak to you again. Coming up next time...
I am bipolar. I was diagnosed 6 years ago in San Francisco. But I've suffered from extreme depression since as long back as I could remember. Well, when I was very young, I used to try to hang myself with my school tie.
I'm obviously very happy that you're crap at committing suicide.
Yeah, I'm not very good at anything, to be honest, anymore. Never was.
I think I'm going to crash.